Why don't we bow our heads? Do you have any prayer requests this morning for us?
Shall we sing 26?
I think this is a good one to start with. I just know you, that the little girls and little boys can really sing this. It's easy. We repeat bringing in the sheaves a number of times here, and it's easy to sing. Old people at the nursing homes really enjoy this one too. So let's go for it. Find my pitch instrument.
Cheese!
How about 30?
Just like,
my brother.
rising and my resting eyes, my heart. Yeah. Very good. Did you have anything to say, boys, about the words? Any thoughts came to you? I know one thing. He knows our thoughts before we think them, right? And last verse says, oh, may these thoughts, the thoughts that are in this hymn, may they take over or possess my breast where'er I rove, where'er I rest, whenever I'm working and whenever I'm resting. And, of course, keeping ourselves unto God. That's really blessed. Maybe any of you, maybe you have a question about the music so far, you know, thought. Well, looks like you're ready for another one. Let's go to 24. Okay. When all thy mercies, O my God, my rising soul surveys, transported. Have you ever transported? That means taken somewhere and maybe lifted, maybe made to soar. That's what this hymn does for us, transports us. It's especially talking about the view of the mercies of God and how it loses us in wonder, love, and praise. We're going to all go with soprano first, just so you get the melody, everybody. And we won't sing the notes, that's just saying the words. Soprano first, and then we're going to go to our parts. And I want to ask Monica to help with alto. Any of you adults that know this song can help as well. Then we get into verse 2 and 3. You got to kind of memorize the words because you got to fit them into the music. When you're up there looking at the music, at least that's what I do when I'm reading music. I'm up there looking at the music, where my part's going to come in, and I have to have the words ready. And it's always nice when the words are right beside the notes. Here they're not. So let's try. First verse, all on soprano. Thank you.
So
bird's eye up there. That bird's eye means we don't stick strictly to the value of that note, that quarter note. We hold it out a little longer. A bird's eye. I'll tell you a little bit more about that later. Well, then you're all from goodbye.
The boys are
blessing
here.
Carol's camera there.
We were supposed to tell a verse, from like the Sermon on the Mount or something like that that Jesus taught, and a verse that sticks out to us. And I thought about how he said, "Blessed be the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." And that's a real good thing to just be a peacemaker, and that to be a peacemaker, sometimes when things are understood wrong about you, you just gotta let it go and just be a peacemaker and not try to straighten people out for what they said about you.
What stood out to me was Matthew 5, 13, 14, and 16. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." And then, "You are the light of the world. A city set on the hill cannot be hidden." And then, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." And so, he was saying, don't just, you can live your Christian life, but he's saying to reach out, like David preached 3 weeks ago in the last half of the message. He talked about being an influential person. So people can remember you because you actually affected their life. And so that kind of goes along with this. If you're the light of the world, you're kind of shining out what Jesus taught us. And so that stood out to me.
I thought about the parable in Luke 6 about the man who knew what he was supposed to do, but he didn't do it, and he built his house on the sand. And so we can it's one thing to know what we're supposed to do, but we also need to do it, or else our foundation won't be built.
I like these couple verses here in Matthew 6, 31 through 33. "Do not worry then, saying, 'What will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." And we can, if we're wanting something and we're praying for it, asking God for it, we're really focusing on ourselves, not on God. So it says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you."
"Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." I thought about how easy it is for us to slip in and out of that mindset, but how that's a very important mindset to have. And anyway, that's basically all I thought about it. But seeking first the kingdom of God, I put a little bit of thought into what that means. And for me, it means just being mindful of the ways that we need to change throughout the day. We might get little warnings that we have the wrong attitude, or if we're willing to to do the work and change ourselves and be a better person, then that's the kingdom of God working in us. And I thought about how that's a world of difference, just striving to humble ourselves and change ourselves and be better people. That's a world of difference than just trying to seek our own interests, you know, trying to please ourselves, basically. That's a very futile thing to dwell on, because this life is full of sorrow, and the only joy that we have are just the things along the way that God grants us have, and, you know, like the beauty in nature, you can't really enjoy nature if you don't stop and take the time to enjoy it, you know. And so if you're always worried and anxious about tomorrow and how you're going to further your own selfish ambitions or how you're going to please yourself in life, you'll miss all those little joys. And you'll miss the blessing and just going through and learning and humbling yourself and being a better person. So anyway, what I'm trying to say is our mindset can change. You know, we can take a day and thank the Lord for it and realize that it's a day that He's giving us to work on ourselves and be a better person. Or we can take it and worry all day long and just complain and get all bent out of shape because things aren't going our way. Those two mindsets are night and day. That's from my own experience. And just to have the better mindset is such a blessing.
I had the same verse as Randall. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And I thought of how that could be applied was like when your brother or a friend or somebody is mean to you or is mad about something that you did or something, you could just let it go, just be a peacemaker, not yell back at them how you thought it should have been, or just let it go, be a peacemaker.
I was thinking about the verse, Matthew 6 verses 1 and 2. Do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them, otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. And you shouldn't try to do good only so that others will think highly of you, but just do what's good because that's what's good.
Matthew 5:45 says, God sends rain on the just and the unjust. And some people think that if you're going through a hard time, like a trial or something, it means that you're not right with God. But and if you're doing good, it means you're good. But no, God sends everybody trials and good times.
I got a few verses here in Matthew. Start with chapter 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And on to chapter 6, verse 14. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others for their forgive them, your Father will not forgive you your transgressions. And then, do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by the standard of measure, it will be measured to you. And if we don't be merciful to other people and forgive them, God will be the same way to us and judge us just like we do other people. So that stuck out to me as I was reading that.
There's a verse in John that says that the blood of Christ cleanses sins.
Treat others how you want to be treated. This helps me remember. Treat others kindly.
Trust and obey, for there's no other way. And if you don't trust in God, then your life won't turn out.
I thought about the Good Samaritan when he stopped and helped the man that was beat on the side of the road. He may have had plans that he wanted to do or things he had to attend to, but he helped somebody else first. He put his own needs after others.